Welcome to A Bit of Insight with Lisa Mosby, your weekly dose of health, wealth, and everything else.
Hey, welcome back to A Bit of Insight. Today's conversation is tender, it's raw, and it's deeply human. My guest, Jeremy Sullivan, is a personal trainer whose story has one of resiliency. It's of resilience physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Jeremy has faced incredible health challenges in his own life, yet he has found a way back to strength and vitality that came while surfing the waves in Peru. We have so many things in common. Peru, getting back to health, wanting to live out our days. But here's the other secret that I want to share with you, and that is that Jeremy's father passed 39 days ago, and he had to say goodbye for the last time. And, you know, he is courageously showing up and sharing what it looks like to walk through grief while still choosing gratitude and wellness. And I just celebrated the 2-year anniversary of my dad. So we're tying these things together this month. I want to spend this whole month talking about grief and how we can find gratitude in our grief. Jeremy's journey reminds us that even in seasons of loss, our bodies and our spirits can carry us towards renewal. So welcome, Jeremy. Thanks for being with me today.
Well, thank you. I have to tell you, that was one hell of an introduction.
We didn't even tell anybody about you.
I know. I was like, I'm very impressed. I want to listen, but I am going to listen, but because I'm here. When you said gratitude and grief, I said, that's really interesting. I started practicing being grateful, like my daily gratitude, when I started healing myself. So to give everybody some context, I had an overactive immune system that manifested on my skin. So anybody that's got skin issues, I don't care if it's eczema or psoriasis or whatever it is, it was chronic to the point where it was ruining my life. And I'm going to expand on that a little bit. But when I started to heal myself, and I finally I found doctors in Atlanta. I'm from New York. I live in Brooklyn. And when they found what was the cause of what was going on my skin, I started to heal myself. And the healing process, they told me it's going to take 12 months. This wasn't take this pill and you'll be better. I didn't do any of that. In fact, I healed myself with these doctors with no medication. And in the beginning, I didn't have any clue on how to navigate this healing process because I didn't know what was going to happen. And what did happen was months and months of excruciating, insufferable pain. And when you're rebooting your system from the inside out, Mother Nature takes a long time to run its course, to do what it needs to do. I mean, it takes 9 months to have a baby. It took 12 months to birth a new Jeremy. And in the beginning process, I couldn't move my body because I was laid in bed every single day, with the exception of getting maybe 10, maybe 15 minutes of a walk during the day. But I started practicing what I was grateful for, and the meditation really helped me out with that. So, and then I guess, fast forward to 39 days ago, my father, who had dementia, he was 84, he fell and he cracked his head, and the trauma from the fall, led to him passing 39 days ago. And I will say that because I was able to heal myself, I was able to be there for myself and for my family. And I don't mean just physically there, like physically healthy. I mean mentally and spiritually as well. And I'm so glad I took all that time to heal myself, because it made a huge difference for myself on a daily basis dealing with the grief. You know, last Friday I was working out and I was doing lateral raises and, you know, for my shoulders, and I could feel it coming, and I put the weights down, and I actually haven't recorded because I'm recording my workout, and I completely lost it in the gym. And
That's okay. It doesn't matter where it happens. It doesn't.
yeah,
We just ride that wave. We let the feelings come.
I think this was, if this was 3, 4, 5 years ago, I mean, actually probably more than that, or less than, I should say, I would say like a year and a half ago, I allowed myself to feel whatever emotion came up. I don't know if I would have done that, old Jeremy. I don't know if I would have done that. Because I learned from healing myself that as I was dealing with the grief, and I don't, you know this, and we talked about this in previous conversations, that grief looks like it's different for everybody. And early on, when we knew that he was dealing with Alzheimer's, I went into, what do we need to do to protect this family? And I put my emotions aside and I started to push my mother in the direction of getting the house in order, the insurance, life insurance, the investments, everything, power of attorneys. And she did it. I mean, I have to hand it to my mother. She did it all on her own, but I knew that the day was coming. We didn't, you don't know when, and we didn't know how it was going to happen, because it was sudden. Even though he had Alzheimer's, and we knew eventually, you're gonna meet your demise. But because of that, she doesn't have to deal with that now. Like, it's all done. And my grief, it has been, I've allowed it to take over. If it comes, I just let it wash over me and let it pass through. When I broke down on Friday, after it happened, I looked back and I went, oh, I could see the events that led up to it. And what I mean by that is I was putting an enormous amount of pressure on myself. Imagine taking 14, 15, 16 months off from your life, not working, not dating, not being intimate, not being active, which coincidentally is the name of my company, Be Active by Jeremy. So no surfing, no snowboarding, and socialization was slightly limited, right? And it the only person that you're going to be dealing with is you when you're going through this, right? And I through my healing process on the physical side, it started to heal myself mentally. And we all have stuff, right? And I was able to, one of the big takeaways from not healing myself is I became really kind with myself. And I started to learn how to interact with myself as I was my own best friend. And taking that into dealing with the loss of my father, which I didn't realize how big of a loss it was until it happened.
Or do. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was in the hospital, and he was airlifted to Dartmouth. My parents live in Vermont, in southern Vermont, at Stratton, or by Stratton, I should say. So it's a 25-minute helicopter ride. But when my mother called me and said, your father's being airlifted, I know from being a snowboarder, if you're being airlifted from a ski resort, it ain't good. It is not good. And I didn't, when we were in the hospital, I didn't, and not, you don't anticipate how you're going to feel. I mean, maybe you do. I didn't, not you personally, but the you, the all of us you. It was overwhelming, and not in a negative way, but it was overwhelming in a how physical my emotions were, dropping to my knees, almost in convulsions. It was really physical. And I think if I look back, I think at that moment, I knew, my spidey sense that I know he's not making out of this. And that's an interesting Don't
Remember that
swallow.
feeling, even though it was two, a couple of years ago now, it's 2 years ago for me. And I do remember that feeling. I remember that feeling. And it's interesting how our brain protects ourselves. I got into work mode. It's like, oh, do we have the will? Do we have this? Do we have all these things? And I want to protect my mom because she's surviving. And my mom had brain cancer. So she went blind. So, I'm in caregiver mode, taking care of her, staying in the hospital so she can be with him, yet trying to take care of all those things. The result for me, your illness happened beforehand, and for me, mine happened after, taking care of both my parents for over 4 years as their primary caregiver.
Oh my
I
God.
am currently experiencing adrenal fatigue, and I don't want to use the word adrenal failure, but my body is not able to produce cortisol. And we think, as fitness people, we think, oh, you're producing too much cortisol, and that's a stress hormone, and your body does that. Well, when you've been under stress for an extended period of time, eventually your body gives up and says, I can't do that anymore. I am completely exhausted. I go for a bike ride, I come home, and I have to take a nap. I do a Zoom call or a meeting, and I have to take a nap. Like, there's this exhaustion that comes with it. So what I really want to unpack with this is two things: the healing piece of it, because you did that first and had the strength to go through it. I went through it and made myself ill, sick, fatigued. I don't want to use the word ill or sick because this is all fixable. I just didn't know what I was doing to me as a caregiver while I was doing it. I was just, so focused on what I had to get done and how I had to take care of all the things for all those years with medical appointments and doctors and prescriptions and surgeries and all the things. So, let's start with Peru. Because I love to travel, you love to travel. I got to go to Peru, shortly after my father passed. It was part of my, feeling, processing grief at that time. You used Peru as processing health. Let's talk about that. Why does travel make such a big difference for us? Why was it being able to get on a plane, change your environment, and go work on you in a different space? Why is that so effective?
That's a great question. For me, I think for everybody, when you purchase a plane ticket somewhere, your brain starts to go there, and when we have something to look forward to, it alters how we feel. Like, oh, we're going to Italy. And it might be 4 months down the road, but your brain is in Italy and you're thinking about what you're going to do and the foods that you're going to eat and the people you're gonna, and you start to just fantasize about that, where you're going to go on that plane. And Peru, people said, Jeremy, why did you go to Peru? Well, the reason for that is my very close friend, Virna, was my chiropractor, and she saw me suffer, and she referred me to the doctors that she went to school with in Atlanta. And as I was healing myself, she would FaceTime me from Peru. She lives in New York, but she goes back and forth where her family is. And she was showing me the ocean, the guys surfing, the women surfing too, the beach, the people running around. And she really did a great job in creating a picture of Peru. And so when my doctors told me it was going to take 12 months, I looked at the timeline of when I started healing myself, which was March 7th of 2024, and to come back to January, that was month 9. And I figured, if they're telling me it's going to be take 12 months, if I'm in a warm environment and I can surf and I can be physical, which I haven't done in a while, I think that it's going to accelerate my healing process. Now, I also want to preface with that what I learned from my doctors about healing myself, which inside of their 42-page plan of care included sleep and sunlight. That was a third of my plan of care. So my brain went, well, in the winter, people with skin issues, you do not want to be in the Northeast or in Minnesota or Minneapolis. Cold is not great for people with skin issues. And I was debating between Mexico and Peru because I had some friends in Mexico. But Peru was where I landed, in a little surf and fishing town called Huanchaco, Peru, which is 360 miles north of Lima, right on the coast. And the rest is history. So that's why I chose Peru, and surfing every other day for 2 hours and being in the ocean made an enormous difference for my physical and mental well-being.
In nature, that salt water. The last year, almost year, I've been living in New Smyrna Beach, Florida. I'm in Minnesota right now, but I was there after my mom passed. So I had my dad 9 months later, my mom, and I had the Peru piece after my dad, and then the last year, just trying to, deal with my health stuff, getting back to me. And every day it's walks on the beach, feet in the sand, or I would bike on the beach, and it clears your head. There's something about getting back into nature, getting in touch with that can start to clean our system. Then when we start to do that, we shift how we're wrapping ourselves in the environment that we're in, then we start feeding ourselves. And let's talk about that. The doctors have a care plan, and pharmaceuticals were not in any place in your space, in your mind. Same with me. I'm doing a lot of supplements, food, nutrition, but not pharmaceuticals. So what was your thinking on that? And what kind of share a little bit about your plan. How did you get from tearing your skin off to, doing a kettlebell workout for an hour today with more strength and vigor than you could possibly have imagined 2 years ago?
That's I your questions are really great, because for anybody that's listening, the simple things that cost $0 will make a huge difference for your state of mind and your physical well-being and your spiritual well-being, whatever that looks like for anybody, whatever religion or non-religion you subscribe to. When I was in Peru, so let me take a step back. How do I want to say it? I was, over the last 4 decades, being someone with asthma and eczema, and most people, if you have eczema, you're probably going to have asthma. There's a huge correlation having both, right? And it's not a prescription that everybody will have it, but it's very common to have both, and there's a connection between that. And Chinese medicine believes that your lungs, as asthma people, and the skin issues with having eczema, they're connected, because your lungs, your skin breathes. It has to breathe, right? We have pores. It's pores. It takes in oxygen, and we sweat. And what I learned from the doctors about, really what I was learning, Lisa, was how to take care of myself for the first time in my life. And we go to school, we don't learn how to be happy. We don't learn how to take care of ourselves. That's not what school is designed for. And for the most part, you kind of have to figure that out on your own, unless you're lucky enough to have your environment to teach you that, right? And when they told me, Jeremy, you need to get about 20 minutes of sun before 10 a.m. on your skin, I went, that's interesting. I was like, how is that going to help me out? But I'm like, but my mindset was, tell me what I need to do. If you think I need to bungee jump off the Brooklyn Bridge, done, done. I'm doing it. I didn't care. I didn't care. By any means necessary. That was my mindset. Because over the last 4 decades of, when you get sick, you take antibiotics, right? Normal stuff. Taking oral steroids like prednisone, taking topical steroids too. All of that led to my demise about 2 years ago. And the pharmaceutical that I took never addressed the issue. And not once did any doctor say, by the way, you can actually relapse after you take the medication, if you take it enough, and your symptoms can come back worse. So when you're scratching and scratching, scratching, if you're asthmatic, excuse me, if you have eczema, you put the cream on your skin. Now, mine was very extreme. This is not everybody, but it was so extreme that I would put the cream on. A couple of weeks later, it'd flare back up again because of the withdrawals of the steroids, which I had no idea about. I didn't learn about steroid withdrawal until these doctors. And when I started to learn about how the body handles medication And when you take antibiotics, it kills your gut. Your body needs time to produce good gut bacteria and flora. And I didn't know that. So progressively over the years, my skin issues got worse and worse and worse. Now you might say, oh, because you have eczema, right? This was not eczema. This was an overactive immune system. It was so overactive that the manifestation on my skin, the skin that was coming off of my body, there was no medication that was working to stop the flaking of skin. I bought a shop vac to clean up the skin that was coming off my body. And I don't mean just once a week. I'm talking 4 or 5 times a day. Dead skin everywhere. And it wouldn't stop. So as I started to heal myself, I learned that the pharmaceuticals that I was taking was causing way more damage than good. And as we all know, this the pharmaceutical companies are really not interested in you healing. They're just interested in treating because treating you can make a lot more money on. They don't get my business anymore. But it was very frustrating, and I was angry for a little bit in the beginning when I learned about this because it's almost criminal. So as I started to learn how to take care of myself and get in the sun for a little bit at a time and have the sun on my skin. So if for anybody out there, if you want to get some sun and get a little bit of color, it's not just about getting color. We need the sun. We need it on our body. It takes about, you can sunbathe for 20 minutes per side. So flip yourself over, 20 minutes, flip yourself over again, another 20 minutes. And don't shower for 3 hours. Let the chemical reaction from the sun on your skin and the oils in your skin, let it do its work. Okay. And by the way, I don't burn. My skin does not burn. And there's a reason for it because I have enough vitamin D from my friend called the sun that I know how to take care of my skin and work with the sun. And you could also do the same thing from 6 to 9 p.m., depending on, where you are in the world. But Peru is close to the equator, so I had to be a little bit more cognizant of that. But sun and sleep and getting rest is probably the best prescription that everybody should be taking.
And right? What are you eating for gut health? I know for me it's sauerkraut, it's apple cider vinegar, fermented foods. Kimchi's another great one. There's so many options available. And you can supplement with supplements, probiotics, prebiotics. But why? I mean, if you can get it in your diet, if it becomes a lifestyle for you, we can reduce the amount of supplements that we take, just like vitamin D. If sun becomes a lifestyle for you, where you're getting that sun exposure on your skin is converting it to vitamin D, you're boosting your immune system in a healthy way versus taking a synthetic form of it or trying to get enough of it through your supplementation. There are options, but we just don't know. Like you said, we don't get an owner's manual when we're born, and we certainly don't get the rules and regs of how to run this amazing being, this amazing body that we're in. We don't know how to do that. So get into a community. I have my Be Well community Saturday mornings. We talk about health every single Saturday morning. It's all by donation. It doesn't even cost anything for people to be there. They can be there and get ask questions, get support from the people in the room. You have places too, as well as your how you work with your clients, personal training clients. Now you have this experience that you get to pour into them. There are places where we can learn this, but we have to be proactive. And just following the doctor's prescription is not being proactive to find health in your life.
I could you couldn't have said it any better. I was so mad and frustrated with the medical community, and I'm gonna bridge into the gut health that you asked just a minute ago. And I if you have something chronic like I did, I started to push the frustration and anger aside because it was making it worse. And look, if you're upset with anything that you're dealing with physically, like anything with your body, I get. I mean, I understand. I empathize with it. It is frustrating because you go to the doctor, and you got to wait another 6 weeks to go to another doctor, and you're still sitting there and you're still suffering. And I started to listen to, I was going from dermatologists in Brooklyn, in Manhattan, in Queens, I was going everywhere. And I started to learn, they use the same language. It's all the same. Let's try this. It's all the same medication, by the way. Manhattan is the same medication as Brooklyn when it comes to dermatology and what they thought that I had. They said, oh, you have an extreme case of eczema. I said, that's fine. What are we doing about this? Because your meds ain't working, baby. And they said, at one point, I had a doctor say, I can't help you. You have to go to a hospital. And I said, what are they going to do that you can't? It's dermatology. It's not like some little urgent care
I
in
need your
Minnesota
appendix
or
out. Or
Vermont. Like, what's the difference? And I remember driving, I was in Brooklyn and it was at a hospital. It was Brooklyn downtown, which is a state hospital. And they also, in the state of New York, we have SUNY schools. It's the State University of New York. And that was one of the hospitals. And I walked up the steps and I stopped. I said, Jeremy, my spidey sense went up. I said, I did a 180 and went right back to my car. I said, you're going to get the same answer. I said, I don't need my time wasted. I need to figure this out. And fast forward, what I learned about the body. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying this, what I'm about to tell you about what I'm eating and what I do eat now is, was given to me. Right. It may be similar for you, Lisa, let's just say if you've worked with the doctors, but they personalized it to me because I am different from you. And that's not what happens with pharmacies, pharmaceuticals. It's one size fits all. So when I started healing myself, I did a 3 week fast and I was drinking rice protein just to get nutrients in and, another powder too for like a liver cleanse. But we did that for the first 3 weeks to quiet my GI tract and my immune system, just to settle everything down. So progressively, I was able to eat food and, but what my food intake, which by the way, is I eat 90%, 95% of what I've been doing since last March. So for breakfast, I have cream of buckwheat and berries and banana, or I make buckwheat waffles or pancakes with water. I don't use any dairy. So anything that's inflammatory, like gluten or dairies, even sugars, like even sauerkraut, like vinegar, I don't touch that stuff. So, and I also want to say this, that even if you ate the way that I did, you'd be fine. Okay. Like if you just wrote down what I was eating after I'm telling you this, anybody that was eating this, you'd be pretty much fine with varying degrees of like allergies or, any food allergies, whatever. But my morning routine is, yes, I have cream of buckwheat or anything buckwheat
Wheat has no
and
gluten
berries.
in it for those listening. Even though it says
That's
wheat in the
correct.
name, it has no gluten in it. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. It is a grain. And it's loaded with fiber, which your brain needs. You need fiber, so make sure you're having your fiber, people. And for midday, I would have a sweet potato. I
Oh, it's
would,
packed with
it's
nutrients. Yeah.
packed. The best, the easiest way to do it, especially in the winter, turn your oven on to 450 or higher. Put the potato in there and leave it for an hour, or until the sugar bursts out of it. That's when you know it's done. And if you want to dress it up any which way you want, do a little olive oil. I sometimes treat myself a little bit of maple syrup on top of that. And then for dinner, I would have grass-fed beef or pasture-raised chicken and always organic vegetables. And that's it.
That's it. The
Every
sweet
day.
potato thing is a fun, that's a fun memory. I used to be a vegetarian when I was a little kid and discovered that the meat that we were eating had a mommy. I said, I'm never eating anything with a mommy again. And so for a lot of my life, I didn't eat meat. But I use sweet potatoes as steak. because they're hardy enough that you could heat them up so that you can cut a knife through it and then take a big thick chunk out of the middle of it and throw it on the
Oh, wow.
grill with the steak that everybody else is having
Oh,
and
that's
put
great.
cayenne pepper or any kind of seasoning. I would put
Right.
even steak seasoning on it, and I
Wow.
would either use cauliflower steaks or I'm sorry, I did cauliflower steaks, sweet potato steaks, or cabbage steaks. All of them. You just take the center chunk and you make this big thick piece of it, cook it like a steak,
Oh,
and
I
that
love
was
it.
my steak.
So you just
So
gave me some nice
there's
new
my
ideas
sweet
to
potato
use
story.
for
Yeah. And
myself.
you can make sweet potato hash. I love the farm raised eggs that I can get here. Free range is one thing, but when they're pasture raised, I buy
Yeah.
them in Minnesota. You can get everything. I can go get, organic lamb or beef that's been grown on the land and harvested right there, or pasture-raised chicken, eggs, and we just have access to those things. I did in Florida too, but not as much as I've had here. But we're also in harvest season, so being able to get those kinds of foods, it's different than the conventionally raised foods that are
It is.
fed grain. These animals are fed grains, and those grains have wheat gluten in them, and you're taking that into you. So we don't even think about that. I'm eating really healthy. I'm eating eggs. Yes, maybe. What kind of eggs? There's that next level that we don't even think about. Even when you're talking to people who are in the wellness world, they can steer you in a direction, but it's like even those folks, there's a next level. Going organic, going free range, going organic with your meats as well, grass fed versus grain fed. There's a next level. So depending on where your health is, find those things that are accessible both to your budget and your environment, and get the best that you can get. It's not quantity at this point when you're trying to heal. It's quality of food. Even if you have to eat less, find that quality of food that's going to support your well-being.
When you said quality, it just dawned on me that it doesn't take much to do what I'm doing. Like to eat what I'm doing, I go to Trader Joe's, I get the organic stuff. They have grass-fed beef now, which is great. If I'm in a pinch, I have organic chicken. By the way, organic chicken means that the feed that they're eating is organic. It has nothing to do with whatever else that farm is putting into the chicken. So that's what organic chicken means. And but it for my healing process, it became a matter of, and I didn't realize this in the beginning, but it became a matter of a quality of life, the quality of how I wanted to live my life. And fortunately, my parents they've made me fall in love with the state of Vermont. And just like you, I can go to the farm and I can get the eggs and I can get the grass-fed beef. And it became a little bit of an adventure and where to go and how to and where to get the food. But I tell you, getting quality food, unfortunately, it's still expensive for most people, and I understand that. Do the best that you can. But I had to learn how to eat again. I had to learn how to digest food. And I don't even have espresso until after 9 o'clock. I don't do the certain behaviors I used to do that. It wasn't my fault that I got in this position because I didn't know, like a lot of Americans. We just don't know. But when if you have things that are going on and they're not getting any better, that's the information. That's your body is giving you information and saying there's something going on here. And slapping a Band-Aid over a broken arm does not work. It's still a broken arm.
Yeah. And slapping a Band-Aid on an autoimmune disease without changing your diet and lifestyle isn't going to fix it. It's just not going to fix it. But there are people who have fixed it, and they are resources. So finding those folks and being able to tap into them.
I'm one of those resources. I am happy to share my information, and if I can, we're not here to suffer. I know suffering is a part of life, just like your father passing away and my father passing away. But I'm talking about you don't need to suffer on a daily basis the way that I did. You can avoid it, but it is challenging. It's not like you can just Google it and figure it out. You really have to search. And what I will say to that is, please don't give up. Your life is it is worth it to go on this pathway. Because once you get it, let me tell you something. There is nothing sweeter than figuring it out and how empowering it is for yourself to do that. And now I'm in a position I can help other people.
I believe that. I believe that we all go through things. I mean, part of the reason that I have two master herbalist certifications and the things that I know is I was really young in my early 20s when I had a bout of, cancer that I've been dealing with my whole life. So I know things and know what things I should and shouldn't be putting into my body. I took deep dives into understanding food, growing my own food, making, growing my own herbs, making my own medicines, making my own, skincare, laundry soap, dish soap, all the things before they were available. Now it's so much easier. We have access to many of those things. There's apps that tell you, what is it, Bob? The EWG is one of them, Environmental Working Group. They have an app out there. There's these different apps. You can scan products in the grocery store and it gives you a green or a red dot that says do it or don't do it if they're good and bad.
Oh,
So
so great.
there's
Oh.
lots more resources available. So, the message on this part of this episode is you're not stuck. Please don't be stuck. Stuck is a mindset. Decide today that there are resources available and reach out, whether it's to Jeremy, to somebody in your community, somebody's book that you've read, start pursuing that wellness. And I want to shift gears into, I think when we're well, we deal with life's challenges in, a little better way than we do than when we are struggling ourselves. And you walking through that final journey with your dad, that wellness, just because you were well and in a powerful state of mind and feeling good in your own body, it doesn't take away the grief. It doesn't take away the emotions that we experience. So I want to talk a little bit about that. We had mentioned it in our conversation. You and I have had conversations about grieving. And for me, I have a tremendous amount of gratitude for the process of dying. And I didn't have that before going through that with parents and grandparents. So let's talk about that. Let's shift gears into the grief aspect of life. We have that health, but then we also we watch our parents as they start to decline and their wellness goes away, and we can support them the best that we can. And then when they ultimately pass, let's talk about the emotions that are tied to that and how they show up in our body and how they show up in our world on a day-to-day basis.
That's a really that's, you have you ask very smart questions, I have to tell you.
Thanks,
I'm
Jeremy.
just saying, as you were saying that, my the I'm learning about grief on a daily basis, and I'm learning, and I'm fortunate that I have really great and smart people in my circle, and there's the week after my father passed away, and I had the privilege to, like my sister did and my mother did, to speak, and the I had maybe 36 hours to write what I wrote, and I was really resistant. And my resistance is not that I didn't want to do it, but I was getting very distracted. And I think looking back, I didn't know how I was supposed to feel. And everybody's told me, well, there's no way you're supposed to feel. And I understand that. You're gonna feel. But I was like, I don't know how to, where am I supposed to go? Am I supposed to go left, right, straight back? I don't know. In navigating the grief, right? And grief is also very physical, I learned for myself. I was, when you're dealing with a, it doesn't matter the time period, because grief, once you're in it, even if it's for 5 days or 5 minutes or 5 years, there's a time period that comes with it. I mean, you were the caregiver for how many, 4 years?
4 years.
That's a long time for your body to hold on to this. There's the stress that comes with grief, right? Which I know you've experienced, and you got sick afterward. I got physically sick. My father's service was on a Sunday. The whole week I spent 7 days on my sister's couch, sleeping on a couch, not even in bed. I'm allergic to her cat and her dog. And I'm starting to now, now I'm starting to do this again. And I'm going, are you like, and by the way, in so July, from July 18th till today, well, till about, it was about 5 weeks of just crying and rubbing your eyes. Eventually, I thought I was getting conjunctivitis. And I was at a party and I'm rubbing my eyes and going, man, I got conjunctivitis. But I said, oh, but you have ointment. You have conjunctivitis cream, just so happens, in your bag. So when I went home, I put it on. 2 days later, I said, I don't think this is getting any better. It's supposed to be better now. And I went to urgent care of in Vermont. I shared the story with the doctor about my health journey and my father's passing. And there's two things that happened. Number one, he said, and he was wonderful, Dr. Sterling at Urgent Care Manchester, Vermont, thank you so much. He said, number one, when you lose a loved one, or whatever that looks like for you, or divorce, something major, said that you can, your body will hold on to stress for up to or longer than a year. And I went, whoa. And I went, I energetically speaking, I completely understood what he was saying. And then he said, you don't have conjunctivitis, you have a staph infection. And for all those that don't know what a staph infection is, it is a skin infection and it burns and it sucks. But fortunately, because I was able to heal myself in this last 14, 15, 16, 17 months, I knew the warning signs. And fortunately, that day that I got help, and yes, I took a shot of steroid in my butt and I got a red Band-aid that looked like that it was as a crayon, as a red crayon Band-aid. That was fun. And I was able to make a decision about how I needed to get healthier. And I was nervous and I expressed me being nervous about taking the steroid, but I was able to come up with a game plan. And I said, look, I'm nervous about getting steroid withdrawal. He goes, Jeremy, it's not going to happen. You haven't been on steroids in a very long time. I said, great. I took a 6 day tapering off of the steroids. I was on antibiotics and I took probiotics every single day. And I'm taking it for the next, I have another 4 weeks of taking probiotics because I learned how to take care of myself. That was a Tuesday. That Friday, I drove from Vermont to my cousins in Brooklyn. We drove to Jersey to our best friend and I surfed the hurricane for 2 days at 6:30 in the morning on Saturday and Sunday. And I got sun on my skin from 8 o'clock to like 9 o'clock-ish on, I'm talking just wearing shorts on my body. I didn't look back. The health just kept growing because I was able to take care of it in that moment because I learned how to take care of myself in that moment. And the grief is sometimes physical. You got sick afterwards. I got sick during. And if you can, stress is a really sneaky son of a gun. And in this country, we have so many millionaires because we work harder than anybody else. And I don't, and that doesn't necessarily mean we're the smartest ones out there. We just like, we just have, our society is you're gonna work 12 hours a day, right?
Driven that way, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I learned my body, I am, that does not work for me. I need to work smarter, not harder. And the grief in last week when I broke down in the gym on last Friday, there was so much pressure I've been putting on myself to grow my company after a year of having no more clients. I had to start, I can't say start over because it's because I'm in a new chapter in my life, but I was starting where I was starting, which was from zero. And going into this holiday season where we have to think about Thanksgiving, we got to think about Halloween, we got to think about the all the holidays that are coming, and what we're going to do, and me going back to Peru for a month, and all of it unfolded in me just breaking down. And talking about it is a really big part of healing the grief, I guess you could say, or not healing the grief, working through the grief, And when you ask me about it, like, are you okay to talk? I'm like, am I okay? I'm like, I'm happy to talk about it because number one, I get to talk about my father, which I love doing, and number two, it really helps my process in working through that grief.
And there's nothing to be ashamed of. I think that there's shame that sort of comes with feeling emotions and physical emotions and, expressing them outwardly. And, if you are experiencing that shame and it feels like it's coming from someone else, get into a different room, get into a different environment, because we want to process emotions. We don't want to hold those emotions in our body. Grief often takes a toll on our body and our mind. And if we do not have proper wellness practices to support us through those hard times, whether it's grief from, like you said, the loss of a loved one who died, or a divorce, or, friends that no longer want to speak to you, all of those things are different ways that we can experience grief. And if we don't have the skills to process that, most of us have never been through a class on understanding grief. How do we do it? How do we get through it in a way that keeps us healthy and grounded, lets us experience those emotions? And in the title, I know we're getting close on time here, but in the title, I talked about gratitude. Gratitude and grief can often feel like opposites. They don't really go together. But I know I discovered a tremendous amount of gratitude being there with my dad and my mom when they took their last breaths, being able to experience their passing with them, the time that I had, the conversations. There was this immense amount of gratitude that I felt after the fact. It came like just like a rushing river towards me about, so grateful that I had that time, that I could give up my job and not be working and, spend my savings and figure out, I can always make more money, but I will never get these moments back with them. And so this surge of gratitude came. And I think that that's what's held me up so much in the last year since my mom, or the last 2 years since my dad passed. Talk to me about that for you. What was your experience with that gratitude?
There's so much conversation out there in the specifically the social media world that people talk about being grateful and write three things down about you're grateful. Yeah, because it works.
Bottom
And
line.
it costs you nothing to do. In fact, I've created a resilience tracker for my clients where the first three things are, what are you grateful for? Just write it down or verbalize it. I'm so grateful that this is how it's all connected. I took the time to take care of myself. And because of that, in my healing process, as I was getting healthy, I was able to be in Vermont with my parents 9 times over the last year. When I was sick from 2020 to 2020, the end of 2023, I was in Vermont 3 times. I missed 3 out of 4 Christmases, holiday time, because I was sick. And then including having COVID too, by the way, because my immune system was just shot. I got to spend more time with my family because I got healthy, and it was on my in midst in the process of being healthy. I'm so grateful that I hit rock bottom, that it was so brutal for me. I'm so grateful for the pain that I got out of, that the environment where my father was in Dartmouth. I just want you to visualize a hospital inside of and surrounded by a forest. Think of Narnia. My father absolutely loved Vermont. And you could say New England and the Northeast because the environment looks, it's all, it's that's the area, right? He fell in love with nature because that was his therapy. That made him feel better. And he died exactly where he wanted to be. I got nothing about it. That I was there, I got to hold his hand. The nurse that was taking care of him the day that he died held his hand. The people that took care of him, my family that were there, I am remarkably grateful for and appreciative. So being grateful, even if you're suffering, if you can find something that you're grateful for, I'm grateful that I went to the bathroom. I'm grateful that I got 4 minutes of sunlight. It's not the size of it. It's honing in on and pointing your brain in the direction of, I thought I had nothing, but I actually have something. And I'm grateful for the grief that I get to, as my friend said, it's a beautiful nightmare. And it is a beautiful nightmare for me at least. And I'm grateful that I get to experience this, and it led me to you and I having a conversation for it. So this is
Sharing with our
fantastic
audience.
for
Who
me.
knows out who's out there who's suffering that may need some may needed to hear
Yeah,
our story, your story or
I
my story.
agree. I agree with you.
It all serves a greater good. And I too am grateful my dad had 18 people in the room to take his last breath. My mom had her great
Unbelievable.
grandchildren laying in the bed with her, holding her hand
Ah,
when she took her last breath. There's
that's
a
unbelievable.
magnificence and a beauty that we both got to experience by allowing. We allowed ourselves to feel the grief, to be in the room, to be vulnerable, to have those emotions and experiences. So I want to thank you for sharing your story with
You're
such
so welcome.
love. Folks, if you're listening, let us know how we can help you. Reach out to Jeremy. He all of his contact information is in the show notes for this. So if you want to get in conversation with him, if you're struggling and you're looking for answers, he's already walked this journey. He's a tremendous resource for you to tap into, and we'll make sure you have access to that. And if you can't find it in the show notes, you can always find me, and I'm happy to make that connection. Jeremy, what I hear in your journey is that healing isn't about erasing pain. It's more about allowing the waves of grief, gratitude, and wellness to carry us somewhere new. You said that you weren't starting over, you were starting new. For anyone listening, you don't have to start over. You have life's experiences. If you need a new start, take that chance. We can always make more money somewhere, but we don't get back more time. We never get more moments. We have what we have, and it's a finite number. It doesn't go on forever. Don't waste a minute more struggling or being in pain or being in an environment that's hurting you. Get help and let us be your support system. Jeremy, your story reminds me that even in seasons of deep loss, like you're in right now, there are moments of light, strength, and renewal that are waiting to meet us. So again, thank you so much for being with me. And folks, come on back next week. We're talking about grief all this month. It's been an honor to sit with Jeremy, and I look forward to introducing you to other folks who have traversed this wire with gratitude and grace. So come on back, everybody. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for joining me on A Bit of Insight. To get more involved with our wellness community, grab a copy of my book, Live Well, Travel Far. Or to explore our travel offerings, visit the website at insightcenterforwellness.com. And if today's episode gave you something to think about, leave a review and please share it with a friend. This is Lisa Mosby reminding you to live well, travel far, and always follow your insight.